Morning and Evening by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. October 13th, morning. Repentance. For godly sorrow produces repentance. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Genuine spiritual mourning for sin is the work of the Spirit of God. Repentance is too choice a flower to grow in nature's garden. Pearls grow naturally in oysters, but repentance never shows itself in sinners unless divine grace works it in them. If you have one particle of real hatred of sin, God must have given it to you, for human nature's thorns never produced a single fig. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, says John 3:6. True repentance has a distant reference to the Savior. When we repent, we must have one eye on sin and another on the cross. But even better is to fix both eyes on Christ and see our transgressions only in the light of His love. True sorrow for sin is eminently practical. People may not say they hate sin if they are living in it. Repentance makes us see the evil of sin, not merely as a theory, but experientially, as a burnt child dreads fire. We should be as afraid of sin as the victim of a mugger is afraid of thieves. We must shun sin, and shun it in everything, in great and little things, as we shun little vipers as well as great snakes. True mourning for sin will make us guard our tongues, lest we say a wrong word. It will make us watchful over our daily actions, lest we offend in anything. Each evening, let us close the day with painful confessions of our shortcomings. Each morning, let us wake with an eager prayer that God will hold us back from sinning against Him. Sincere repentance is continual. Believers repent until their dying day. Repentance is not intermittent. Other sorrows yield to time, but repentance grows with spiritual growth. Repentance is so bittersweet that we thank God we are permitted to experience it until we enter our eternal rest. October 13th, evening. Strong as death. Love is as strong as death. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6. Whose love is as mighty as the conqueror of monarchs? It would sound like satire if it were applied to my poor, weak, and scarcely living love for Jesus my Lord. I do love Him, and perhaps by His grace I could even die for Him. But my love for Him can scarcely endure a scoffing jest, much less a cruel death. Surely it is my beloved love which is spoken of in our text, the love of Jesus, the matchless lover of our souls. His love was indeed stronger than the most terrible death, for it triumphed over the cross. It was a lingering death, but love survived the torment. It was a shameful death, but love despised the shame. It was a penal death, but love bore our iniquities. It was a forsaken and lonely death, from which the eternal Father hid His face. But love endured the curse and gloried over it. Never such love. Never such death. It was a desperate duel, but love was victorious. Answer my heart. Are your emotions excited when you contemplate such heavenly affection? Yes, my Lord. I desire to feel your love flaming like a furnace within me. Come in your fullness and excite the love of my spirit. For every drop of crimson blood thus shed to make me live, oh, wherefore have not I 1,000 lives to give? I need to love Jesus with a love as strong as death. He deserves it, and I desire it. The martyrs felt such love, and they too were flesh and blood. They mourned their weaknesses, and out of them were made strong. Grace gave the martyrs unflinching faithfulness, and the same grace is available for me. Jesus, lover of my soul, shed your love in my heart this evening. Amen.